Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah.
I sing yellow and gold as a new day dawn, like a virgin unveiled who waited so long to dance and rejoice and to sing her song and to rest in the arms of a love so strong.
Welcome to Daughter Arise, Girl Talk with Sister and Sarah. I'm Sister Tracy with the Daughters of St. Paul.
And I'm Sarah Denny.
And we're going to be talking together about the gift of our identity as Daughters of the Father and how we can authentically live the feminine genius in today's world.
And so we are so blessed today to have another guest with us, Ms. Janae Dupre McCaffrey. And she's going to be so uncomfortable in how I share about her, but I'm kind of one of her biggest fans.
Oh.
She is amazing, but she is a beautiful woman who is married to, actually, Tim McCaffrey. You might have heard his show. I feel like he does something maybe in the diocese with the radio, maybe not, but he talks a lot. He's great. And they have four little ones at home, and she is just living it, right? She's in the trenches, I feel like, in the Catholic mom world and trying to figure it out and take it one day at a time. But I met her before she was even married, and she's been to Calcutta to work with the Missionaries of Charity. And I think we were praying before the show, and I was like, what word would I use to describe this woman? And I would say the word is sincerity. She is just a woman without guile, and she kind of, she's like, this is who I am. And she's always has a smile no matter what's happening.
Beautiful smile.
It's like it could be an earthquake, and she's like, well, it's an earthquake, and she's just describing it. But it's a beautiful gift and a joy that I feel like she's not saying that life is about being perfect, but she's like, this is just about being real and you know, striving to love. So sorry if I made you uncomfortable, Janae, but I'm so glad you're here. But we just really wanted to invite Janae here to share kind of what we just mentioned. So, you know, you're a woman who is a mom and you're married, but you also work. And, you know, however I feel like you want to share, maybe to start, you could share even how you met Timmy, because I feel like that would probably have a lot of laughs involved in it.
Yeah. Oh, really? Oh, let's hear it.
And I was at their wedding. It was beautiful. Mm. Oh, my gosh. One of the most beautiful brides I've seen. And Timmy cried harder than maybe any man I've ever seen cry at his wedding. It
beautiful.
Was great.
Wow. Cool.
And I almost had to hand him my handkerchief to clean the snot off of his face. But.
So how did you all meet?
So back when World Youth Day was in Toronto, the youth group that I was going to, I wasn't old enough to go. They kind of cut it off at a level that I wasn't able to go with my group, but I was determined the Pope's this close to my house, even though I live in New Orleans. It's the closest I've been to the Pope.
Love it.
I was like, I am finding a way to go. And so I found a great group on the North Shore to go with. And Timmy, through his involvement with CYO stuff and through the diocese, just even that young, was offered a place with actually kind of with my youth group to go. So we ended up meeting in Toronto. So it's kind of funny when people are like, oh, where'd you meet? I'm like, I actually met him in Canada. actually, first impression, I thought he was pretty obnoxious.
Yes.
Probably had self-esteem issues then if he was trying to be that much the center of attention. So I paid him no mind whatsoever and really could care less about this crazy guy with a afro of hair at that time. And then when we came back home, he started coming to my youth group regularly. Still didn't really care for him too much because he was loving being the center of attention and the new guy in the youth group. But that year, it was my New Year's resolution to run a half marathon. So I started training for that. And at the same time, he really wanted to do something similar to try to be more disciplined just in his life and in his prayer life. So we started running together and kind of being accountability buddies. And it kind of went from there, just forming a really good friendship. And that looked differently over the years because we didn't date from that point on until we got married. We dated different people. But in the end, God brought us back together. And now we have four crazy, beautiful, but fun kids.
Beautiful kids.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
The happiest little ones that I've seen, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely been a bunch of different seasons, I feel like, our relationship's gone through, but also just in general with life and having kids and life before kids. And it's a little different than how I pictured it initially. I thought I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, doing all kind of fun crafts and marching around the house with instruments.
The queen of Pinterest.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't even know what Pinterest was. Timmy showed me what Pinterest was. But no, just I guess growing up in a big family, my mom, we were blessed to have her home all growing up. And so I always just saw myself being the stay-at-home mom who was just very involved in all my children's lives. So it was a little different for us with student loans and different things that I had to work. But I feel like the Lord's definitely been present all throughout the different seasons and has helped to show me how to live out the call to holiness and the call of motherhood and femininity just with each phase. Because I felt like, when I was engaged, I was like, all right, I got this, you know. But but then with married life, obviously, that looks a little different. And then with children, it looks a little different. But I felt like he's definitely met me where I'm at, whether it's washing dishes or having to work when the last thing I want to do is be at work. I'd rather be home with my kids. He's met me there just in the conversations and in the faces of the patients that I've taken care of at the hospital, and just helped me to continue to see him and walk with him just throughout the day in the vocation that he's called me to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you went to nursing school for, obviously, how else would you become a nurse, but for a while. So just to back up a little bit I feel like I just see like the Lord also preparing you. Like you have a certain unique path and it's going to involve a certain amount of suffering, and nursing school is not like a walk in the park. So I know it looked different, but I feel like there was a lot of like you and him time, like you and the Lord. That's probably a sort of foundation that was built before marriage even.
Yeah. So there was one particular summer where I just feel like the Lord was just stripping away different things in my life that I realized I was really attached to. And it got to the point where I really was heavily discerning religious life and got to a crossroads of like, okay, I have this great desire to be a mother and have children and raise a holy family, but then also have this great desire to just totally give myself to you, Lord, and be a mother in a different way as a sister in religious life. And he brought me to Calcutta, India, which my mom always says, before that point, she's like, you don't have to go to Calcutta to...
Your mom's
so practical. She's so pragmatic.
So I feel like that always just like echoed in. It was like cliche. We're like, yeah, mom, we know you don't have to go to Calcutta to serve people. We can go next door or we can, you know. Mm-hmm. So actually, this trip to Calcutta fell in my lap. And I felt like if I didn't go, then something was going to happen because it was so clear this is where God wanted me. Mm-hmm. And since then, my mom can't really say you don't have to go to Calcutta because God actually called me there. But it was a unbelievable gift to be there and to serve alongside the sisters. And it made it very clear in my heart, the Lord called me there to show me that all the things in the everyday, the mundane things, the things that I think are important, whether it's now I'm fast forwarding to married life, but the dishes being clean, my kids being in all these extracurriculars and having our family look a certain way, like none of that matters when you strip it all away, that he's just calling us to himself. Mm. And in Calcutta, I learned a lot of things, but I walked away really with that simplicity of life, that no matter what my vocation ends up being, whether it looks like I'm wearing a habit or if I'm going to be wearing t-shirt and shorts with spit up and crayons and markers all over me, that he just wanted me to serve him wholeheartedly and to not hold anything back with the people that he put before me to love. And so in the end, like it took a little bit more time for him to lead me to Timmy, but just feeling like the call to carry that into married life and family life, which in the day-to-day isn't the easiest. It's kind of whoever's crying louder sometimes gets the attention, or if the clothes are higher than the dishes, well, the clothes get the attention that day. But just trying to keep things balanced and keep that, you know, my heart in check, my mind in check, like, okay, Lord, like with all this stripped away, if all this is taken away, like what's most important? And it's how am I loving and serving you today in this moment? Yeah. I feel like some days it is cleaning up a TT accident, one where trying to potty train our almost 4-year-old who we thought was potty trained a year ago and he's still struggling, or it's a beautiful crayon picture that was colored when we went out on our date night on the walls, and just different things that
it's like the, and they look at you like, you mean I can't be doing this on the wall? Like, but I thought I was giving you such a great gift.
But I made it for you. I know. Like, thank you.
I have the most clear picture of that happening, and I was the culprit. I was, you know. So yeah, I remember like just being so proud of myself, and then just that feeling of that turn, like, oh no, I wasn't supposed to do this.
Right.
It's like, oh, the lessons we have to learn.
Right.
The lessons. But it's really beautiful as you were sharing. I mean, it's like a direct or to the point message, like such a, you know, that ability to kind of look at things like, if all of this were stripped away, if everything extra were stripped away, could I still have the one thing that's important, which is, am I loving the person that God gave me to love? And I think anybody can apply that to our life and to say, you know, really, what's the cord that Jesus is calling me to? What's that main thing? It's like he gave you a gift, it seems, in Calcutta.
And so I guess my question then for you with that is, like, how did you transition from this space before marriage? Because I feel like a lot of women kind of ask this question. You're before marriage and you can pray with Jesus in a certain way. You can go sit in the adoration chapel and it's just you and him. And you have, I guess, time. Like a lot more.
You can sleep a full night without anybody crying.
Yeah. Right. And then now you're like, I'm married and there's this whole other person and our worlds collide. And then we have more little humans running around and their worlds are colliding in ours. And like, how do you, as a woman who, I guess, understands the gift of prayer, how do you live that out now?
I definitely was a person before marriage, especially in nursing school. I loved going to daily mass. I had my time in adoration. I played a lot of sports, and I just felt like that really helped my prayer life to skyrocket, because as I'm training or going for a run, that was just all time to pray a rosary or just to really listen and let the Lord speak to me, and just a lot of time of quiet. That is like the greatest gift, if I could have quiet in my day now. But I feel like just through the different seasons and times in life, like the Lord has, he finds you. Like if you have a heart that's open and seeking him, he finds you. So my prayer life looks different. I don't go to daily mass. I don't have my set holy hour. I fall asleep while I'm praying my rosary sometimes. So I find that just like opening my heart, like when I'm washing the dishes, like, Lord, like I give you my heart right now to speak or just to be present. And I feel like just that openness and surrender of inviting him into the folding clothes or into the driving to work or changing your third poo-poo diaper. Like he meets you there and speaks in the silence. And even in the little kid songs, I feel like sometimes I'm so convicted and moved to tears through like Jesus loves you. And there's that song going over and over. I'm like, wow, you do love me, Lord. And Peter's like, what's your problem?
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, when we come back, we're going to continue speaking with Janae. And we just really invite you back to enjoy and to experience how God is working through this really normal, everyday mom.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We established orphanages and helped the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church, with over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith. Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Welcome back to Daughter Arise. I'm Sarah Denny.
And I'm Sister Tracy.
And we are just starting our second half with our wonderful guest, Ms. Janae McCaffrey. And she has been sharing a lot about just the chaos of life and seeking to find the balance, which is not what looks like perfection, but it just looks like giving your all and your love in the present moment that's right in front of you. And a little bit before we started the second half, we were talking with her, and you know, recently this movie came out, I think Wonder Woman, and I haven't gotten to see it, but I would love to. But I think just even in the culture, right, we look at certain women, we're like, oh my gosh,
Wonder Woman,
she does it all, right? And even deep down, I'm like, I would love to be like that. That sounds great. But okay, reality check. No woman, right, is going to be perfect. But we can still feel this temptation to be perfect, to have it all together, to, okay, my house is going to look great, and my kids are going to be, you know, dressed in their cute clothes, and they're going to go to this school or whatever. So how do you, Janae, I know that you're living it, right, in the trenches, and you're experiencing it. So is there anything you can share with us about kind of that struggle and what that looks like? Right, it's not going to be everyone, it looks the same, but how does it look for you?
Sure. So I have gotten that compliment. Actually, for Christmas, I got a Wonder Woman all glittered out mug from my mother-in-law. She's like, you are Wonder Woman. I was like, aww. Thank you. Yeah, you should come over more often. it is a hard, you know, a harder calling, I feel like, to be like mom at work and mom at home and try to balance it all. But like the reality is that I'm not Superwoman, and any woman that looks like they're Superwoman, there's something that they're still struggling with, striving for, even if they do, like, quote, look like they have it all together. Mm-hmm. And the only person that really had it all together, I feel like, is Our Lady. And she's like our ultimate example, woman to look to and to strive for that same holiness and virtue. And just, okay, how does it look in my life? Mm-hmm. So I feel like for me, God's called me to serve in the home as well as outside the home at work. And the type of service looks very different, but at the heart of it, we're still called to give generously of our heart, to pour ourselves out just with love and patience, even when it's harder to show patience to other people. I feel like everybody has that person in their life that they struggle to really be patient with. And just with that, like, every day, I feel like it takes that daily surrender and calling on the Lord to ask for the graces to love well and to serve well. Because naturally, like, to serve, there's a sacrifice, there's an emptying out of yourself. And for me, just being that athlete, I feel like all growing up, I played sports and stuff. So I'm used to working hard for something and digging down deep, sucking things up and just like rolling with the punches for the sake of the greater goal, whether it was the state championship that I was, you know, training up for or whatever the goal was for the sport. But for now in life, it's for the holiness of my family and for the person that I'm taking care of at the hospital, that they would feel more loved, more appreciated from the time that I started taking care of them to them when I left them. And so with that, there's always a cost, I feel like, with sacrifice. And if I find on the days that I try to like do it on my own and be Miss Independent and kind of let that athlete in me take over and kind of push Jesus to the side, then I fall on my face, I get impatient. I start having these feelings definitely by the end of the day of like being Miss Independent, of feeling like resentful, that I'm pouring myself out that much and not really feeling like I'm receiving anything back. It's just that giving and counting the cost, actually, like, okay, well, I did this, and just feeling that build. And then sometimes poor Timmy, when he walks in the door, I kind of have this this list of like, look at all my accomplishments and acts of service for the day. So now it's time for me to check out and you to take over. You know, here's my quota that I'm at for the day of loving and service and patience. I'm out. I have nothing left to give. Yeah. See you tomorrow.
You 10 know. For good buddy. Right. I think it's really important though, just to underline or just emphasize the fact that, you know, that's a beautiful, honest thing you just shared. And I think it's really important for us to sometimes, you know, in the spiritual life, things are happening, and we don't even draw or realize that, like, oh, that's a little dynamic that happens inside of me. That really, in the spiritual life, that's exactly where God wants to meet us, in the reality, mm-hmm. in the real.
And so, that, like, if you're listening right now, like, I think this is such an invitation for all of us, because we all have these spaces and places.
We wouldn't be listening to Catholic Community Radio if we didn't want to strive to be better.
Yeah.
Like, and so,
where is this place? Like, where am I experiencing in my life maybe this sort of, it could be resentment that's building up. I feel like we all, as women especially, like, we know the emotion's coming, mm-hmm. but sometimes we don't slow down to, like, why, like, try and delve into, like, where is that coming from? And so, like you said, well, the first person, God bless them, who's, we're probably closest with, that walks up and we're like, like, here it is, and I did this, and I did that, bye.
Yeah, yeah. But I think also sometimes we don't know why, mm-hmm. but we just know that.
Yeah.
Like, and it's good to bring that to God.
I feel like I hear sister in my voice, in my head a lot too. And she's like, this is so good. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
It doesn't feel good. Why are you telling me this is a good thing?
Yeah. Because then the remedy is when you present the sickness, because, I mean, Johnny, you're a nurse. So you know that when until the sickness is presented to the health professional, it's going to stay the sickness, you know, unless God starts activating some healing, you know, outside of that. But just to call to that, you know, just to say, you know, many times we have to allow that, those wounds to just come to the surface and be like, all right, Lord, I'm coming to you with Mary at the foot of the cross. I'm going to stand with her, and I'm going to just give you this crappy feeling of resentment I got right now, mm-hmm. or whatever.
And the beautiful thing too is, like, we don't, I think sometimes we get tempted to ruminate on that wound or that experience, but we're not saying
the
that.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Right.
Like, I shouldn't be feeling this.
Yeah, I heard a really wise person say, like, don't should on yourself.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, I need to not.
Yeah.
I should all the time. Right? So,
stop it.
But really, so you offer the resentment or the emotion, whatever it is, and then you keep moving, right? Yeah. Like, we don't even have to figure out why. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't, but we don't have to analyze. Like, mm-hmm. the Lord, spiritual, like, the mysteries, you know, like, he's healing and moving and working outside of our intellect and understanding all the time.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeanne, I mean, what for you has been those moments where God has kind of worked to bring you, you know, yes, I know I'm in this space, but now, like, what do I do with it? Where do I go from here?
I feel like he's very gentle and patient. It's I love that our God is who he is, and he's not me.
Yeah. Amen. Praise it. Praise God. Praise
But I think he smiles on the effort, for sure, and just continues to call me back to different things. So sometimes it is the quote, you know, about giving with a generous heart and to give without counting the cost. And, you know, the gospel where Jesus is like, okay, if somebody takes your sandals, offer him your cloak, and to just, like, to just give freely of your heart.
I'd be like, you want my socks?
So does this mean I get a new pair of shorts? Because these are hand-me-downs from my last two sisters.
Yeah.
So I would love a new pair of shorts. No, but then to look at the cross and to realize, like, okay, like, you held nothing back from me. And even, like, when I've been ungrateful and just not even paid any attention or mind to you or to your love or to what you've done, you know, for love for me, that you still love me generously. And so for me, when I have the hard times of, you know, just continuing to pour myself out for my family, or being at work and having a generous heart at work, and just being grateful that I have the opportunity to have that, you know, kind of ministry, like, in my life, because I can't always lug four little ducklings around to serve food at homeless shelters or whatever, but I can go love on, you know, people that are sick or, you know, in need in the hospital. And so I feel like he helps to come and fill my heart in the areas that I am weak, and the areas that I start feeling that resentment or just that selfishness, like, well, what about me? Like, who's going to fill my picture and meet my heart's desires and my heart's needs? And he's come, like, in those moments. I feel like as long as I've been generally open, even if I've been more bitter at times, like, just that general openness in the background of, like, Lord, like, here's my heart. You can have it. Come and meet me here. I feel like that's a prayer that he can't not answer. Yeah. And so,
and I think what's so beautiful too is like in everything that you're sharing, you know, we talk a lot on this show about that the church isn't trying to box women in, mm-hmm. right? So there's not one way that femininity looks or that beauty looks right. or that holiness looks.
Being and mom I just, looks.
Right. And yeah. I just love what you've shared. I hope with the women, like when you're listening that you hear, it's like your call. It's not to look like what it looks like for Janae or myself or Sister Tracy, but that in all of our walks, the Lord wants to come to meet us in our reality, mm-hmm. whatever that is, which looks different in our seasons of life, but also looks different from day to day and looks different from moment to moment, right?
Yeah, right.
And then just the gift of, you know, I feel like in what you're sharing too, like the Lord, if we give him just a little bit, like we just try a little bit to see him and ask him to reveal himself to us, then he will reveal himself to us. And so we just want to transition right now into just a time of prayer. And I feel like everything that Janae has been sharing too, and we were talking with her during the break, you know, that staying grounded, right? Just this idea of cultivating hearts that are thankful, even for, you know, the craziness and the mess and the chaos, but that it's just one moment at a time. And so we wanted to pray with you, actually, the Magnificat. So just remembering and learning from the gift of Our Lady what it means to not have all the answers or to have it all figured out, but to still, without understanding maybe, to choose to give praise to he who does have a plan and does have the answers and does desire not just our happiness or our survival, but really our thriving. Mm. And it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever." And so, Father, we just ask that you would give to us the grace to be women who, even in the chaos and the confusion, Lord, that with your grace, we can stand up at the foot of the cross with Our Lady and look to you just to find your gaze, even when things are rushing around us, and to choose you in those moments. Lord, that you would give us the grace to remember that you do not call us to be successful or to be Wonder Woman or to be perfect, but Lord, you call us to be your daughters who truly receive all good gifts from you. Lord, that you call us simply to be little and to be humble and to trust in your goodness and in your fatherhood and in your providence.
Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Janae, for joining us.
Oh, you're such a joy.
We're so grateful for your beautiful presence, and we hope to have you on again.
Yes, that would be wonderful.
And thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time.
Daughter Arise is a production of Catholic Community Radio.